Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, late night, right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. As always, the number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Open the show tonight talking about the Celtics and this weekend that wasn't, essentially, right? So Thursday started this whole house of horrors for the Celtics, not only losing at home to the Lakers, but blowing another double-digit lead, blowing an 18-point lead, and losing in the fashion, in the manner in which they did. Complete heartbreak. And it was inexcusable. The Celtics just did not play quality basketball, specifically in the second half of that game. And then to see what happened over the weekend against Doc Rivers and his Clippers, what a joke. I mean, there's no getting around the fact that that is simply a joke. You want to talk about an inexcusable loss? That is the definition of an inexcusable loss. You have a 28-point lead at home, a 28-point lead at the Garden, which is supposed to be one of the best home court advantages in all of the NBA, right? So you've got that going for you. Not to mention, you got Doc Rivers over there coaching essentially a new group of Clippers with six new players that had really yet to practice together on his roster. And yet the Celtics allow them to come back from a 28-point deficit and beat you by double digits at the Garden. I mean, this is clearly the low point of this Celtics season, and there's been a couple of low points thus far this year. There has been. There's also been some pretty high points as well, and that's sort of what you get here with this team. They are very much trick-or-treat, and unfortunately, a lot of this has to do with Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie is going to be the centerpiece of this team, and there's no getting around that. So when Kyrie is happy, when he's engaged, when he's playing well, everybody feeds off of that, but when Kyrie is negative and Kyrie's not playing all that well, or when Kyrie is sort of sulking, I feel like they take their cue from Kyrie coming from both ends. They really do. And it's unfortunate here because Kyrie is a bit of a bipolar type of guy. He is. When you look at the way that he plays, you look at his attitude on the floor, he's always been like this. He's hot and cold. And if you listen to people around the NBA, that's why they said, you know, when he pronounced his love for the Celtics, that's why a lot of people that sort of have followed his career knew that that could change because he changes his mind quite frequently. But what does that do for this team? It creates this air of uncertainty. And when you look at the players on this roster and you look at the issues that this team has been dealing with, let's be honest about one thing. You do have Kyrie Irving, who you don't know if he's going to re-sign here next year or not. So you've got that. And now you've got the young guys, right? So you've got Jason Tatum. You've got Jaylen Brown. You've got Terry Rozier. Marcus Smart was in this rumored deal. Al Horford's in this rumored deal. You have all these players that are thinking to themselves, why should I put my balls on the line for the Celtics when they've got me in a deal coming up on July 1st, sending me to no man's land, sending me the Pelicans? You think Al Horford wants to go play for the flipping Pelicans? Do you think a guy like Marcus Smart wants to go play for the Pelicans? So this is the danger of the situation that Danny put himself in, where on one hand, I get it. He had to call the Pelicans and say, hold up, hold up. Do not make that trade with the Lakers. We've got a lot to offer. But if you listen to the rumors that have come out of the Garden and you listen to some of the names that have come up, well, if we've heard the names, then the players, they've heard the names. And the agents, they've heard the names. So now you're asking guys like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Al Horford. All of those guys were rumored to be a part of this deal for Anthony Davis. Now you're asking those guys to commit twice as hard to the Celtics right now, and we'll see where you guys go next year. I can understand why there's a little bit of trepidation there from those guys to maybe buy completely into what Brad Stevens is selling, because they know that more than likely they're going to be shipped out of here to go to the Pelicans. But that's part of being a professional, and that's part of growing up. And a guy like Al Horford, he needs to know that by now. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the calls. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Cranston. Steve, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing?
Hey, Steve. What's up, man?
All right. I got a couple things for you. So you think, I believe you said LeBron would take a 25-win team to the playoffs. Durant, right?
Yeah, I said both of those guys are capable of taking a 25-win team, and I think LeBron could drag a 25-win team to at least the conference final and Durant at least to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, well, LeBron took his Cavs to the finals.
Yeah, exactly.
Mo Williams, yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the issue, though.
Hold on, though, Steve. I was comparing them to a guy like Anthony Davis, right? So
yeah, yes.
You get it, okay.
1 second.
Yep.
All right. LeBron did that in an Eastern Conference. If you were to put the Pelicans in the East, do you not think that Anthony Davis would be in the playoffs every single year?
I think that he would have a higher likelihood, or at least in years past he would have, yeah.
Well, no, yeah, he'd definitely be in the playoffs every single year. There's been teams that have had losing records making the playoffs in the East. Like, if you were to take the Timberwolves, who have no shot every single year,
I know.
That team is very good, and you put them in the East, they're in the playoffs.
But what does your eye test tell you, though, when you look at Anthony Davis? Do you think that he's ever elevated his team to the point where they're a danger to anybody out there?
Well, they can't be. They're in the West.
But they've been in the playoffs twice.
You look at the NBA, and it was Golden State versus whatever team LeBron's playing for.
No, you're right about that. He's been to the playoffs twice, Steve, and he's only won one round. I'm not looking for him to be a multiple time NBA champion right now. I'm just looking for a little bit of evidence that says
LeBron. Listen, I am a huge LeBron fan. Believe me. LeBron just left the team to go to the Lakers, and they're not even in the playoffs right now. Like, that's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, but they were, and they were multiple games over 500 till LeBron got hurt. I mean, so the numbers are skewed there, too. You know what I mean?
Well, yes.
I mean.
But what I'm saying to you, though, is, like, that Pelicans team, like, your Marcus Smart doesn't want to go there. Marcus Smart, Drew Holiday is better than Marcus Smart.
He's a lot better.
He is a lot better. Al Horford is a good player. But what I'm saying to you, though, is you're comparing Anthony Davis to whatever in the West. So obviously it's like Kevin Love with the Timberwolves never got there because they're in the West.
No, I get it. I know, Steve, I get it. I totally get it. The West is better than the East. I understand that. It's not about that to me. It's just about Anthony Davis. Does anybody out here actually think that if you put Anthony Davis on a 25-win team, that 25-win team now wins 50 games no matter what conference they're in? You know what I mean? So that's really the question. I don't care if you're in the East or you're in the West. If you put Anthony Davis on a 25-win team tomorrow, does that team win 50 games? Yes or no? Because if you put a healthy LeBron on a 25-win team, that team absolutely wins 50 games. You put a healthy Kevin Durant on a 25-win team, that team absolutely wins 50 games. My only worry here when it comes to an Anthony Davis is, A, the NBA is really trending away from the type of player that he is. Now, I get it. He's not your prototypical back-to-the-basket big. But let's face it, the amount of value put on a big man is minimal these days. It's a good thing that he can play much more like a Kevin Durant type. He can play out on the wing, but he's still not as fluid or as comfortable as a Kevin Durant out there on the wing. So he still has to play in the post somewhat. He's one of two or three players in the league right now that can play out of the post. But when you look at him, are we confident here that it's the right move? Because now you get yourself potentially an Anthony Davis and potentially a Kyrie Irving, neither one of which I think wants to be that alpha dog. Neither one of which I think wants to be that number one star, the guy that sort of you build your three-headed monster around. Which one of those guys do you think is really comfortable as the alpha dog of the Boston Celtics? Because I don't think either one of them are wired to be that number one star, that number one personality. It is Sports Radio. WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's get to Mike. Mike's in North Providence. Mike, you're next up here on WEI.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Mike.
I think that our conversations are finally starting to kind of really rub off on you now when you're talking about the problems that Brad has.
It only took 4 months, Mike,
people.
You know?
Yeah. You know, but I mean, just to, you know, stick on what you've just been talking about with Anthony Davis, I think Anthony Davis has a lot of value because he is, you know, his value at the big man spot. And in today's NBA, to have a guy like him, you only need one. You don't need, like, in the past, it was like you need a bunch of bigs. And bigs were more valuable than smalls. And, you know picking Hakeem Olajuwon over Michael Jordan was never blinked at, even after the fact, because he was a great center. and the rule of thumb was pick big over small.
Yeah, but then Sam Bowie, you know, that changes the dynamic too, right?
Yeah, but forget about Sam Bowie. No one ever blamed Houston for picking Olajuwon over Jordan.
I'll give you that. Yep.
They never did. They never said, oh, well, that's a horrible thing. No. Why? Because the rule of thumb was big over small. And yeah, you know, Portland took that to the extreme. But the thing is that in the case of Davis, you bring him here, he can be that guy that grabs the rebounds, that anchors the defense, and can be a big-time scorer for you. And he doesn't necessarily need to clog the paint because he can shoot and all that.
Yep.
Great. The thing is Kyrie that sort of person you really need? Not really, because, you know, especially on a team like this, you know, of course Terry isn't as good offensively. But you know what? He's a lot better defensively, and the identity of this team was defense. And he plays better with the other people. I mean, that's not been an issue with Terry. Terry plays great with Jason Tatum, great with Jaylen Brown. He would cost half as much. He doesn't get hurt. I mean, these are things, you know what I'm saying? This is the sort of stuff where me personally, I think I would have moved on from Kyrie at the deadline and moved him out of here.
Let me ask you a stupid question, Mike. You know, you brought up, because in your perfect world, we talk about Anthony Davis, right? So if Anthony Davis is here next year, aren't you worried that if Kyrie isn't here, then that's a less likelihood that Anthony Davis is going to re-sign? But ultimately, you got to make sure he re-signs, and how do you keep him happy? Is that with or without a guy like Kyrie?
You see, I think the bold move for Danny to have done would have been to move on from Kyrie right now and then brought in Anthony Davis right now.
Yep.
Like this year, he should have done that. Because then that gives Anthony Davis two postseasons with this team to start establishing himself as a Celtic and not have any Kyrie drama. And you know what? Have a lot of really good young players that he can go and kind of bond with and see, oh, wait a second, you know, these guys are really good. I can play with them. As opposed to it being kind of like, you know, about a bunch of drama next year. You see what I'm saying? And not to mention, he might not have confidence in Kyrie himself. Who knows? I don't know what's going on because Kyrie is an injury risk. Everybody and their brother should know this by now. And, you know, and what's been going on with the dynamic on this team, that might scare away even somebody like Davis saying, you know what, I just don't want to deal with it. I want to go play for the Lakers. I want to go play somewhere else where maybe I can just do whatever I want. And you see what I'm saying? When they put adding up all the positives and then adding up all the negatives, maybe Kyrie becomes a negative in that equation.
It's crazy to me. I get it. It's crazy because we're all so excited to get him here. Mike, I appreciate the phone call. Great stuff. You know, we're all so excited to get him here. And the moment he got here, he's electrifying on the court. I don't think anybody's going to question just how dominant Kyrie can be on the court, just how special he can be on the court. But there are certain things that are really irking me about Kyrie lately, and it's not just the phone call with LeBron James. It's the way that he's carrying himself right now. It's his refusal to lead by example. You know, it's one thing to open your mouth and give a half an hour sort of lecture in the locker room after a loss. Yeah, he does that quite a bit. But that's getting old. It's a tired act, and it's one that I think wears thin not only on the fans and on the media, but it's got to wear thin on his teammates as well. It's like, I promise you, he's got a teammate or two that wants to turn over and say, just shut up. Just shut the hell up, Kyrie. Do you ever shut up? His voice has got to be absolutely killing some of his teammates. I promise you it is. Because ultimately here, these guys know that they had some success last year without Kyrie Irving. They did. That is a fact. Whether they could repeat that or not is up for debate. I don't know if they could. But right now, the Celtics team, you know, you've got to ask yourself this. Do they have a legitimate shot to win a championship this year? Yes or no? It's maybe a 5% chance. Last year, they had a 0% chance. And that difference between last year and this year, despite the fact that they played, a more fun style of basketball last year, was much more pleasurable to the eye. The eye test, absolutely, last year's team was better. But talent-wise, this year's team is better. So despite the fact that they're not as much fun, despite the fact they don't play as a unit, despite the fact that they don't compete nearly as hard as last year's team did, despite the fact that they're not committed to the defensive end like previous editions of the Brad Stevens Celtics have been, despite all that, because they've got a top-10 player who is playing at the prime of his career right now, they give themselves an outside chance to compete to win a championship. That's how different the NBA is, especially in the playoffs. So I'm being pulled from both ends right now. You know, on one hand, I get it. You know, the Celtics, the eye test, they are a better team. They're a much more fun team to watch when it's Terry Rozier and Kyrie Irving's nowhere to be found. But I also saw that team's shortcomings last year. And ultimately, this is Boston. And Boston is not about, you know, going to the conference finals and losing. And ultimately, you need yourself a top 10 player to advance beyond that point. That's what the Celtics did not have 2 years ago. That's what the Celtics did not have last year. This year, so far, they've got that guy, but nothing else is working. So I don't know ultimately what they're going to do here. I don't even know if this season might be too far gone. I'd like to think that it's not. But I don't think Brad Stevens has what it takes to recapture that locker room. I really don't. When you look at his personality and you compare it to a personality of a guy like Kyrie Irving, ultimately whose personality is going to dominate and win in that locker room? It is not going to be Brad Stevens. I don't think Brad's got the ability to shut Kyrie up. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls here. Let's go to Chris. Chris is in Temple. Chris, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing? I listen to you on my way home from work. I just want to say up front, I really enjoy listening to you. You make a lot of sense to me, and I appreciate a lot of the stuff you talk about.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that.
This is just, you said there's two players that can bring a 25-win team to 50 into the playoffs. LeBron, and who was the other one?
Kevin Durant.
Durant. This is the completely off the wall. What if they trade? Do you think the Celtics would be able to trade Kyrie for Anthony and then make a trade for Durant?
So they had maybe an opportunity to trade Kyrie for Anthony Davis at the trade deadline, but now they can't because when the season's over, Kyrie Irving's going to be a free agent. So if the Celtics are going to hold on to him, they have to re-sign him, where Anthony Davis still has 1 year left on his deal. So if you were going to make that deal, it had to be a couple of weeks ago. Kevin Durant thing, don't rule that out. Kevin Durant has told some of his friends out west that he's not going to re-sign with the Warriors. The popular theory is that he's going to wind up with the Knicks, but he has told a couple of people out there that the Celtics are high on his list. It would have to be a sign-and-trade type of deal. The rumored target is some of the Celtics' young talent, be it either a Jaylen Brown alongside a Gordon Hayward, because they feel at Golden State that Gordon Hayward could come in and be their fourth option, and he could really thrive in that role as opposed to losing Kevin Durant for nothing. It's an off-the-wall thing. The people that are reporting it aren't necessarily the strongest, but it's one that makes a lot of sense to me.
I like Jason Tatum with Durant.
Yeah.
The idea of that really, I see him flourishing with Durant.
Yeah, as do I. And he'd be the perfect type of guy for him to sort of groom himself under. I mean, we'll see. Here's the one thing that gives me some sort of optimism here. That no matter what happens between now and the end of this season, no matter how this Celtics team winds up concluding itself in the playoffs, whether it's with a championship or whether they bow out in the first round, whether Kyrie Irving decides he wants to stay here or not, whether Danny Ainge decides that he wants Kyrie to stay here or not, the one thing that I know after covering Danny Ainge for 18 years is that he has got a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D. And he's got multiple branches that sort of grow off each one of those plans. He does. Going back to the 2008 World Champion Celtics, that was not his plan A. It was not. His plan A was to win the draft lottery and to draft Kevin Durant. His plan B was to trade for Ray Allen, trade the number 5 pick Jeff Green for Ray Allen, and hope that convinced a guy like Kevin Garnett to sign a long-term extension if the Celtics traded for him. That was plan B. That plan B worked out okay. So I do have some faith that regardless of how this thing goes down, Danny Ainge will have multiple backup plans upon backup plans. And no matter what those backup plans are, they're probably better and they're probably stronger plans than most other general managers' plan A's around the rest of the NBA. It is Sports Radio, WEI.
No, I mean, I think that, one of the things that we say at the very beginning of the year is we don't want to be a team quoted of unnamed sources. So if you're going to say something, you got to put your name next to it. And Marcus's frustrations were obvious and evident. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I thought he said a lot of stuff that, can't really argue in the last two games. And so we need to be a lot better than we were at finishing out games and handling adverse situations in games. And go from there. But, as long as we can put our name next to it, I'm good.
Celtics coach right there, Brad Stevens. And, again, I've never questioned Brad in his post-game comments. I've never questioned Brad when the media meets with him on practice days. Here's the thing, though. If you go back and you listen to what Brad's had to say all season long, it's a lot of the same stuff. And he continues to sort of kick the can down the road with this belief that tomorrow will be better than today and their chemistry will get right. They just need more time. And, yada, yada, yada. I've heard a lot of the same things since October. And I'm starting to get to the point now where I'm really doubting this team's ability to get things right. And I hope I'm wrong. There's still 26 games to go. There's still a world of basketball left to be played here. But what makes us think that the final 26 games will be different from the first 50 and change? That's really the question that the Celtics have to answer. And the only people that can really answer it are the players themselves, because they're the ones that claim that they're not getting along with each other. They're the ones that claim that everybody's out there playing for themselves rather than playing for the team. And there's a lot of underlying reasons as to why. But if this guy in Brad Stevens is the genius that everybody makes him out to be, he's eventually going to push the right buttons and figure this thing out. Otherwise, this is going to go down in history as one of the most underwhelming and disappointing seasons in the great history of this franchise. It is Sports Radio WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Will. Will's in Worcester. Will, you're next up here on WEI.
Hi, Patrick. I usually enjoy your show.
But not tonight, huh, Will?
Not so much.
I'm taking out a lot of my frustration on the Celtics, Will, so, you know, don't hold it against me. It's been a tough weekend.
I know it has been. And sorry for your loss. And as far as Kyrie, this just seems to be a lot of speculation. First of all, that he's not getting along with the teammates. And then there's speculation that he's trying to turn his teammates against the coach.
Well, it goes beyond speculation, Will. So let's talk about this for a minute. So let's go back to about a month ago when the Celtics were in Orlando, and the Celtics came down to the final play of the game. They did not draw the play up for Kyrie. And what did Kyrie do on the floor after the game came to its conclusion? He went and he openly questioned the coach in front of everybody else, the teams, the media, the fans, everybody. And then he did it again in the post game. So that's one of the sort of tangible examples that I can point to and say, you know, as a leader, that's something. If he wants to question the coach, do it behind closed doors. Don't do it in a place where a 21-year-old, you know, second year player can see you doing it, because that 21-year-old's going to get the wrong idea. There comes a responsibility with this job that Kyrie has, and I don't think that he is living up to all aspects of the job responsibilities.
Well, I've actually seen a lot of the way he acts has been pretty humble, starting in the preseason when Tommy Heinsohn questioned his conditioning. Kyrie wasn't really in bad conditioning, but he went along with it and said, okay, Tommy's right, I need to get in shape.
Yep.
And he's basically been pretty humble in his, you know, most instances.
So you tell me, obviously you watch the team, Will. Last year's team, you know, had all that success from March through almost June. And they did that without Kyrie Irving. And the play on the floor seemed to be more enjoyable to watch. The ratings were up 44% because it was so enjoyable to watch. There was never a question of these players playing for each other, playing for the Celtics, not playing as individuals, all the things that we've heard about this year's edition of the Celtics. So you include Kyrie Irving, and in my opinion, everything sort of changes. Is that not what you're seeing here?
Patrick, from a basketball standpoint, I hate to admit this, I root for Kyrie, but I have to agree with you, because Kyrie just isn't really a great fit for the Celtics.
And that's the thing. Maybe, Will, if next year the Celtics' plan is to trade away the young pieces, trade away Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and bring in an Anthony Davis, maybe Kyrie is a better fit for that edition of the Celtics. You know, that future edition that Danny Ainge is envisioning. But this particular edition, he just doesn't seem like the best fit.
I like Rozier, Tatum, and Brown. Those three guys, to me, they should build around those three guys, because they're incredibly versatile, especially defensively. And when those three guys are on the court at the same time, seeing really good things really happen.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you there, Will. Listen, I appreciate the phone call. Don't be a stranger to the program, and I appreciate the kind words. You know, I'm sorry that I'm disappointing you tonight. This is Gilroy frustrated, okay? This is me very, very frustrated, because, you know, you're not going to find a bigger green teamer than me. You're not going to find a much more of a Celtics optimist than I am. And the fact that I'm losing faith, losing hope here, should tell the Celtics something. because not only am I losing faith and losing hope in this particular edition of the Celtics, now I'm starting to question what their plan is going to be moving forward. Because normally, if a season doesn't go the way that we want it to, it's no big deal. You know, you go into the offseason and you can sort of strip things down again and build it back up again. But Kyrie is like this anchor weight that doesn't go away. He is front and center in all of these discussions, right? So if the Celtics are going to fix things here for the long term, I don't think that this particular group of players is the right group of players to put around Kyrie Irving. I don't, because they need the ball in their hands to create for themselves, and Kyrie is not going to allow that to happen on a consistent basis. The ball sticks. It does. You know, the ball sticks in Kyrie's hands, and he's a great creator. So the fact is, it's not a bad thing for the ball to stick when it's in his hands, because if he calls his own number, it's probably a higher likelihood of the ball going in the basket than if he creates for somebody else. So you don't want a Rajon Rondo any longer. You need a guy like Kyrie Irving. But there's got to be something closer to the middle. And I know that he's averaging a career high in assists this year, but it goes beyond just the assist. It really does. It goes to the way that the Celtics play the game of basketball. You know, this thing used to be, when we heard about pace and space, that meant that at least three people touched the ball on the offensive end before the shot went up. That's the way it works. The Celtics were supposed to be a team like that, a team that built itself in the image of the Golden State Warriors, and they looked more similar to that style of play when it was Terry Rozier leading this team as opposed to Kyrie Irving. Here's the thing. With Terry Rozier, your ceiling is limited. With Kyrie Irving, your ceiling is higher. But the style in which they play is not nearly as much fun to watch. And I think that that style is starting to really grate on his teammates, because you're seeing and hearing the frustration come out of their voices. You know, Marcus Morris, do you think he wanted to blow this thing up in the media the other day? Do you really think he wanted to do that? I don't think he did, because Marcus Morris knows that ultimately here, that's just going to cause more headaches and more distraction for this team. But he got to the point where the frustration is boiling over, because you got 15 individual players. This is like the old Red Sox teams where they used to say, you know, a different plane for everybody. Well, this is what the Celtics are. You have 15 individual players doing 15 individual things, trying to accomplish 15 individual goals, as opposed to 15 guys working towards one goal, you know, playing for the name on the front of the jersey as opposed to the name on the back. And that's just the way it goes. This Celtics team is broken, and they are broken at their core. And I'm not sure that there is a fix that they can put into place this season that is going to fix this thing well enough to get this thing right and give this team at least their best opportunity to have some sort of sustainable playoff success. It is Sports Radio WEI. Let's grab one more here. Let's go to Tony. Tony's in Springfield. Tony, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how you doing? My question is about the Celtics, because I'm kind of disappointed in them too. But the lack of defense that they've been playing, last year they played great defense. Seems like this year, the only person that's playing good is Smart. Everybody else is struggling playing defense. We're putting up high points, but we can't stop the other people and try to keep them under 90 points or 80 points. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
You're right. You're 1,000% right, Tony. In years past, under Brad Stevens, this team would pride themselves on their defense. Not just last year's team, every team that was led by Brad Stevens, they would pride themselves on their defense. Their defense, no matter what happened offensively, they could count on the fact that they would show up defensively. And yeah, Marcus Smart always sort of led the way, but Al Horford was always, you know, an all NBA defensive second teamer type of guy. You know, sometimes a second team, sometimes third team, but always in the conversation. This year, his defensive metrics are way off. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Aaron Baynes continues to miss time. This team is a much more impactful defensive team when Aaron Baynes is on the floor. And this year he's been dealing with a foot injury and missing quite a bit of time. As a matter of fact, he's already been ruled out again for tomorrow night's game in Philly. And you pay attention, you watch this, you watch the dynamic of the Celtics team defensively when Aaron Baynes is on the floor versus when Aaron Baynes is not on the floor. Two completely different Celtics teams. And it's just a sin that they can't overcome the loss of Aaron Baynes. But that foot problem, I think my fear is that it's going to continue to haunt this team for the remainder of the season. He'll play, he'll tweak it, he'll miss time. And that's why when you're looking at the buyout market here, if I know the Celtics, they're waiting for the big dog to get bought out. That's DeAndre Jordan. I'm not sure if it's going to happen. And if it does happen, I'm not sure if the Celtics are a realistic target, because DeAndre is going to be a free agent. He's going to want to get paid. But a guy like Martin Gortat, that's the guy the Celtics should go after if and when he becomes available. Somebody that can play a similar role and style to Aaron Baines. That'll help fix a lot of the Celtics' defensive problems. It is Sports Radio. WEI, it is late night. I see you guys on the line. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. How the hell do we fix the Boston Celtics? And is Kyrie Irving worth the headache, my friends? Because I got to tell you, I've had a headache just about every night since October. It is Sports Radio. WEI. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is late night. Room for you guys tonight is 617-779-7937 as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. You want to text the program, it's 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. As we continue our Celtics discussion here, after what was just a horrific last few days for the Boston Celtics, everything sort of culminating with the post-game comments following the Celtics blowing a 28-point lead to Doc Rivers and his Clippers over the weekend from the Garden. Marcus Morris saying that this team hasn't liked each other all season long, that this team is a bunch of individuals, this team is not having fun, and they haven't had fun in quite some time. Now, with 26 games remaining in a season that was supposed to culminate with a trip to the NBA Finals, the Celtics are watching the rest of the Eastern Conference continue to sort of be above them, including the Indiana Pacers, who I have to give a tremendous amount of credit to. Because they lost Oladipo, and they continue right now. They're in third place in the conference. And to me, that's simply outstanding to lose your best player and continue to hold your head above water and continue to put yourself in a position to win basketball games. Meanwhile, the Celtics, nobody's going to question the amount of talent they've got on their roster. And unfortunately, talent is not enough. And when you play an 82-game schedule, an 82-game season, these guys have to sort of fly together. And they're not doing that. This is not a team that is unified. This is not a team that looks like they're going to be able to fix what ails them between now and the playoffs. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong about this one. I do. But you can see the writing sort of is on the wall here for all of these guys, whether it's a guy like Kyrie Irving. And I feel like we've talked a lot tonight about how Kyrie doesn't fit with this particular group of Celtics, and I think there's a lot to that. But you have to ask yourself, if you're Danny Ainge, what is the long-term plan here? Does it matter if Kyrie Irving doesn't fit on the floor well with this particular group of Celtics? Or is all that matters the fact that Kyrie Irving may fit better on the floor with a guy like Anthony Davis? You know, has this season sort of gone by the wayside because of the promise of Anthony Davis coming here in the offseason? I hope that's not the case because, A, I'm not totally sold that that happens. B, I'm not completely convinced that even if it does happen, Kyrie sticks around here long term. And C, I'm not sure that if that is the move that you make, that that move even elevates you any higher than you are right now in the Eastern Conference. I'm really not sure it does. You look at a guy like Anthony Davis, he's injury prone, and he's not a guy that's been able to single-handedly and individually elevate his team. So why do you think if he came to Boston, he would be able to single-handedly and individually sort of elevate the Boston Celtics? So regardless of what your belief is with this team, whether you want to build around this young core and Kyrie Irving, or whether you want to flip the young core for a guy like Anthony Davis and pair the two together, I'm not sure either path is sort of greenlit a path to the finals. I'm not sure that that path exists right now, not with the way the Eastern Conference is currently set up. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's get back out to these phones. Let's go to Lester. Lester's in Dorchester. Lester, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, I've been waiting to get on.
I appreciate you holding on, Lester. It means a lot to me, man.
All right. I've heard you say everything's Gordon Hayward.
I've given Gordon Hayward 5 months of my wrath, but I can do it again if you want, Lester.
No, I'm just saying. You said how well they played last year, okay?
Yep.
Gordon Hayward wasn't there. Was he?
No, he was not.
He was hurt. And all of a sudden, the chemistry's changed because they were waiting for Gordon Hayward to get better and score some points. And I don't know how much he's making, but I think he's making quite a bit of money.
He is the fourth highest paid player in the association right now.
Right. And maybe there's a lot of jealousy about that. That you pay that person all that money, and he's not carrying his weight.
So here's the question. If a guy like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Morris, let's say hypothetically, Lester, that they are jealous of Gordon Hayward because he's making all that money and he's not carrying his weight. To make that point actually a real point, they would have to take, in addition to his salary, they would have to take that potentially career-ending, career-threatening injury that Gordon Hayward absorbed as well. Do you know what I mean? So if Jason Tatum wants the money that Gordon Hayward's making, fine, but you got to take the injury as well.
Yeah, but that's not helping the team.
No, it's not.
That's not what the team. The team was waiting for someone to come up that was going to score some points, and they would have sort of got a better chance at winning a title.
No, you're right. If Gordon Hayward was further along in his rehabilitation, right. But you know, I think that these guys that they're there with at practice with him every day, Lester. And, you know, I think that fans, it's one thing for fans to be overexcited and overzealous about, you know, the thought of Gordon Hayward coming back and, you know, being the guy that he was with the Utah Jazz. But if the players, if his teammates thought that he was going to be that guy right away this year, then that fault has to fall on them. Because I got to tell you, Lester, he's done all the work. He's just not physically all the way back yet. And I'm not sure he's ever going to be physically all the way back to what he once was with the Jazz. But he doesn't dominate this team both on and off the ball the way that a guy like Kyrie does. And that's why I put a lot of the emphasis on Kyrie, because Lester, he plays, you know, 35, 40 minutes a night. He is the most dominant personality in that locker room. He is the guy that sort of everything he does permeates through this team on and off the floor. Gordon Hayward, unfortunately, that's not the case yet. Now, I do think that there's an element of jealousy. I do. I do think that there is an element of, hey, why is that guy on the floor right now? And I do think, especially if you go back to the Golden State game a couple of weeks ago, when an unnamed Golden State player, but the general consensus is that it was Kevin Durant, said that Gordon Hayward was a liability on the floor, both offensively and defensively for the Celtics. But if you're the Celtics, what the hell do you do? Like, if you want to get Gordon Hayward back to being the guy that he used to be, your only chance at doing that is to play him. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you don't play him and you give those additional minutes and you split them up between, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, well, then I think you might win a couple more basketball games right now. I do. I've said that all season long. But ultimately, does that help you achieve your ultimate goal of reaching an NBA final and winning a championship? I don't think it does. The only way that this group of Celtics, when I say this group, I mean whether it's this year or next year, if they bring this core group back, the only way that this core group wins a championship is if Gordon Hayward eventually returns to the guy that he was when he was with Utah. That's it, because that gives this Celtics team a completely different dynamic than any other team really in the Eastern Conference. When you look at all the moves that the other teams in the East made, all right, so when you look at the additions that Toronto brought in, the additions that the Bucks brought in, the additions that the 76ers brought in, all good players. But none of them even come close to the talent of Gordon Hayward. So the Celtics don't make a move at the deadline because their hope is still that eventually here, sometime between now and the start of the playoffs, that Gordon Hayward continues to get better and eventually that light turns on and he becomes a close facsimile to what he was when he played with the Utah Jazz. The later this season goes, the more of a pipe dream it sort of sounds like, but that's the Celtics' last best hope to getting to the finals this year. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's go to John. John's in Mattapan. John, you're next up here on WEI.
Patrick.
Hey, Johnny.
Let's start with Gordon, Patrick. We have a second, hey?
Yeah, let's do
All right. Let's start with Gordon. In my humble opinion, Patrick, the only fair way to assess Gordon Hayward's progress, in my opinion, is to compare him to Mr. Paul George. So even though, in fairness to Gordon, right, Patrick, I feel like Gordon had a worse injury. I'm not a doctor or a medical person, but, you know, I'm saying let's be fair to everybody, right?
Sure.
And especially be fair to Gordon. Let's compare what he's doing with what Mr. George did when he came back from his broken leg.
Okay.
I think that would be the fairest way to handle the whole situation. Now, you know, I myself, right, Patrick, I think to myself, realistically, if you sit down and you compare the numbers, you're going to see something that's very similar. Like Gordon, as you said clearly and correctly, Gordon is a hardworking person. He's doing everything he can possibly do. But we have to be fair to him, and sort of the way I see that is to just to try to use a little bit of knowledge instead of how you feel.
Well, it took Paul George 2 years. I hope that's where we're going with this, right? Because it took him 2 years to eventually become the guy that he once was.
Well, yeah, and I think Gordon will become the best person he can be on any given day, but he deserves, and you know, he deserves the time to do that because he's doing the work himself.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Now let's move on to the rest of the team, Kyrie. See, myself, Patrick, like I was listening to you describe your feelings about the situation, and honestly, Patrick, I wasn't really clear about how you feel particularly, you know, should we, you know, how should we handle this? Should we move Kyrie? Should we move the young people? You know what I'm saying? But here's, I don't know how old you are, Patrick, but I'm just saying to you, I remember the Celtics playing in the 60s. Patrick, I watched Bill Russell win number 11. I was sitting in my mother's living room watching him do it. You understand?
I do. And by the way, the reason why you didn't hear me give a sort of clear and concise take is because I sat the fence on that one. I put it out there to you guys.
You're doing a great job. That's part of your job.
But, John, I've got it because here's the thing, right? So as a Celtics fan, and that's what I am first, I'm a Celtics fan. I know covering the NBA, loving the NBA the way that I do, the only way that you win championships in the NBA is with premier, supreme, top 10 talent. That's what you need. That's what Kyrie is. But then the eye test tells me something completely different when I see him play and interact with this particular group of Celtics, so I'm torn.
Can I jump in and give you how I feel about
Absolutely.
That particular point?
Yep.
Okay. As someone who listens to King LeBron, and I love LeBron, right, as much as anybody, I respect and love that man. He's given us so much, but he has not done everything, right? Bill Russell did everything, right? Bill Russell was the coach and the player when he put that last ring on, wasn't he, Patrick?
Yes, he was. Right? Player
so
coach.
There is a place for LeBron to go that he hasn't gone yet that another player has. But what's the point? The point is the Celtics have always played a certain kind of basketball. The Celtics brand of basketball is not like any other brand of basketball. Do you agree, Patrick?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, with that in mind, in my, you know, years and years, decades of experience, honest to goodness, Patrick, I have never seen in the Celtics organization that a player would get up in our community and say, you know, I think we should dump all these young kids and get some veteran in here so we can win a championship. As far as I'm concerned, right, Patrick, when I heard that, I said to myself, that should be coming from Danny Ainge, not from one of the players. When does the player in Boston wearing a Celtics uniform step up and talk like he's not only the man, right? He's going to talk for the general manager. Patrick, it's never happened in my experience in Boston that I could remember.
But it's because that player you're talking about was brought up under the tutelage of LeBron James, who has tried to play de facto GM for Cleveland for years.
Now, let me please say how I feel. And you know, I don't hate anyone, Patrick. I don't hate anyone, right? I love the fact that I get to be someone living in Boston at this point in time, because we're just so unbelievably gifted, aren't we, Patrick?
Oh, this is the best. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm saying to you that, you know, I don't have anything against Kyrie, because we all feel we want Kyrie to be there at his best with these guys playing their best. And that sort of like makes us feel bad when we have to leave that sort of dream and go into something more realistic, like, you know, the guys learning, you know. But this is how I feel, Patrick. He is not an alpha dog because he can't handle the business at both ends of the court. This is just me being a guy who played basketball on a basketball court. Do you understand, Patrick?
Yeah, I do. You got to play both ends to lead. I get you.
He wants it as much as anyone. He's even said it himself, but he can't do it, Patrick. Now, Patrick, you want to get a promotion, go in there and get the plus minus for Kyrie for every game he's played this year. My feeling is he started off slow, he picked up, but he still got a big plus minus on the defensive end of the floor. Coach is still subbing him in and out because he can't play defense. He can't. He's too small, Patrick. You know, Terry Rozier is learning how to cheat. He's learning by making mistakes. Patrick, did you watch Larry Bird cheat on defense?
Well, I mean, yeah, Larry really didn't have to cheat on defense.
Oh, Larry was the best cheater there ever was.
But what I'm saying is he could, but what Larry could do was he picked his spots better than anybody. So he didn't cheat consistently. Remember how Rondo used to lead the NBA in steals? It was because he took chances and he cheated constantly. Where Larry would pick his spots and pick his spots very well.
Patrick, we're talking about a group of guys right now who is the only team in the NBA in the top five in steals and blocks. This has got nothing to do with our dear friend Kyrie.
No.
Do you understand?
It's everybody else.
Huh?
It's everybody else, John. It's everybody else is still doing their job defensively, but Kyrie is a big gaping hole. I'm up against it. I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff, John. Anybody that was a fan back when Bill Russell won a ring as a player coach and wants to talk about that is cool with me. So, you know, here's the thing. We've done this for 2 hours, and we got 2 hours left to go, and we don't have to do this for the whole show, but I told you I had a goal here, right? And the goal was when I leave here at 2 o'clock in the morning to have a much better understanding as to exactly what the issues are with the Celtics team and how everybody out there feels about Kyrie Irving. I still have no idea. Do we want Kyrie Irving here for the long term? Are we still as convinced as we were on day one, opening night this year? Because at opening night, every single one of you wanted Kyrie here for the foreseeable future. But I had a feeling that most of you, a lot of you, a good number of you, are ready to move on from Kyrie Irving. Am I right? Am I wrong? Let me know. 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.